Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am grateful that you chose to be with me on this 21st day of November 2020. We're going to talk about why evil always wins. I have gotten loads of emails regarding this over the last 6 months or so, and I've kind of, I guess what you could say is I've kind of ignored them a little bit. I've considered them. This is a heady subject that most people just can't really understand. It's a difficult subject. You have to be extremely mature. And I, you know, always risk the idea of your misunderstanding, risk the idea of your assumed bias that you all have inside you. And it's a very hard thing to talk about. It doesn't lure donations for sure, or warrant them in the average person's mind, but somebody's got to say it. And even though the evidence is there about human evil and our love for it, our consumption of it, as far as our life is concerned, we are consumed by it. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I want you to understand that this is coming out of 50 years of working with people, and it is also coming out of basic human history. And when I have talked about this with my friends, they have all kind of shuddered at this. They've all kind of said, you know, this is too depressing to even think about. But it's something that I think the average person doesn't want to get involved in. They just want their life on their terms, doing what they want to do when they want to do it. And especially in this country, that makes them think they're free, and that they live in the greatest country in the world, which is a matter of conjecture and opinion. So I'm going to kind of sneak this one in. Hopefully it will help those of you who are mature enough to understand. And for those who aren't, I'm sure you will never listen to me again or whatever. But let's just kind of ease into it and see where we go. The first question comes from Jason in Los Angeles, California. Jason, I want to thank you for your kind comments. You may not have them anymore after you hear this little ditty I'm going to offer. So anyway, your email was very kind. He asks, why is human nature always evil? Why does it always turn bad? Jason. Well, of course, you know, the logical argument to this is that bad is in the eye of the beholder. And if it turns out good for someone else, but bad for someone who is a part of that whole scheme, or maybe hurts someone that they never get to see how it hurt, then it doesn't matter to them. So a lot of that is contained in the perseverance of bias in us. So you ask, why is human nature always evil? Because it's always in survival modality. Whether you know it or not, being unconscious as we are, we live out of survival. And then we moralize the cruelty of our survival, because it takes a great deal of cruelty to be that mean and that, shall we say, scrupulous, that ugly, that mischievous. Because of all of that, because our DNA is still very prevalent in our bodies, in our drive to live, when we see maybe a situation or a condition that threatens our survival, our DNA kicks in. It becomes ruthless, fight or flight, you know, kind of thing you've heard, but mostly fight, because we are programmed to fight in our genetics. We are programmed to fight, to lie, to cheat, to steal, to point our attentions at elements within our worldly life that make us feel like that's them against us kind of thing. And when we start feeling the momentum of them against us and the DNA kicks in, the genetics, who are ancient in us and go all the way back to primitive societies that we lived in, and that our parents lived in, and it's in our bodies, it's in our brain, it's in our blood, as it were, we're going to act and react from that place. And it will all be moralized in us, like they are the bad people, we are the good people. Bad people are doing this, good people are doing that. And we have our prejudices and our biases, all of us. We all do in our bodies. I have it, you have it. So how do you treat someone who is your supposed enemy, who did something to you that you thought betrayed you? Do you go and quote, unquote, revenge yourself, get even with them, try to hurt them as much as you possibly can? Be, you know, lovers are like this. You, let's say you're in a relationship with a person and all of a sudden they betray you in some way. Maybe they don't give you what you want, or they find someone else, or they say things that betray confidences in you that you have shared, or, you know, some silly thing, whatever it is, whatever it is. And all of a sudden now that person looks different to you. Why? Well, the chemicals in our brain change for sure. The oxytocin changes everything. You start to see them as the enemy. And then the DNA kicks in, Jason, and it says fight, fight, fight. So we fight. And we go to our genetics. This is all unconscious to us. We don't even know this mechanism is working. And we start doing and saying things that are just as bad as what the other person did to us. And we just don't see it because we believe we have every right to do what we're about to do to get even with that person. There's the evil. I was watching a video cast that someone had made. I'm sorry, it's a little early. About how people who they polled for the election lied. Americans lie. And why? Well, they don't want anyone to know their business. So they get on the phone and someone says, who are you going to vote for? And they're embarrassed. They're embarrassed because their DNA is sticking out and their survivalist thing is sticking out. And they know that whoever they're going to say they're going to vote for might not be the best person, but may be playing to their interests, their biological interests, their physiological interests, their economic interests, the whole thing. And they'll lie. You know, they'll say, I'm going to vote for Harry, not, you know, Fred, and what they really do is vote for Fred because they feel intimidated. They feel like, if I don't, this whole thing is going to crumble, and what do I know? I just want to get my little things that I want for my life, and I just want to sit in my easy boy recliner and decline in my life, and I just want to rot in that, and I don't want any criticism of that. They have their own separate agenda and interests, so they don't tell the truth. And bingo, surprise, here we are. And your email, Jason, was really well written, and I agree with you about most everything you said. Human beings are flawed. And I'm going to say this, living on the humanistic point of view, just purely out of genetics and DNA, they are, to say the least, untrustworthy. And you got to look at it and ask yourself, how many people do I know who I've hurt, who have gone after me in the most ruthless ways possible, saying the most ugly things they could possibly say? Who are these people? What are these people? Why do they do the things they do? And this just goes on and on and on in our lives, and we romance it, we moralize it with religion, we moralize it with politics, saying we're patriots, blah, 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 all of that. They just, the insanity rolls on. Now, when you start understanding this a little bit in your life, then it should come and translate, Jason, to not trusting the human in me. I've got to come to some point in my life where I'm just not going to trust the human in me. I'm not going to allow the human beingness of me to guide me and direct me in the things that I do. And one of the things I have to admit, and I admit it freely, but I don't think most people do because they're proud and ignorant, is that my human cannot be trusted. Not at all. And the right thing to do in any given situation from the human point of view could be very much the wrong thing to do in life. And it would be counterproductive. There's a lot of ugliness that goes along with that. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it with friends, I've seen it with lovers, I've seen it with colleagues, I've seen it with my counselees. I watch them all these people do all these things to each other, and in order to try to hurt them and to get even, to even the score, as they call it. And it's, you know, we're just honestly into evil. That's just what we're into. Go look at all of the popular programs, movies. It's all about evil. And we like it. We teach our children to even like it. And it's sad. Anyway, there you are, Jason. I kind of watered it down. I hope it helps, and please forgive me. Namaste. Next question. This comes from Carla. She says she lives in Oregon. What is evil? What is good? I am confused. Carla. Well, Carla, this is a very good question. And I like your analogies in your email. Very, very intelligent. Generally, evil is what I think goes against the bias of my survival, and good is what goes for the bias of my survival. And oftentimes what I think of as good is evil to you. What I might think of as right might be wrong to you. What you might think of as wrong may seem and appear to me to be perfectly correct in my logic and reasoning, in my mental acuity, in my bias. There's so many things, so many chemicals, so many assumptions, so many. We're a complex entity. We are. And we have all sorts of neurons and protons and all sorts of things going on in our bodies, in our brains, that help us arrive to conclusions about our life that are just simply conjectures. They're conjectures that are based on the assumption of facts and appearances in this world that have absolutely nothing to do with the real meaning of our life or what this is really all about. One man's meat is another man's poison, as they say, and boy, is that ever a fact of life, a fact here on earth. So you have to look at everything from the point of view of the earth, the world, and people, and what they do. And instead of condemning them, you need to understand what you're all about. And if you understand what you're all about, how you work within yourself, what is being true to yourself and what that means, then you come to a place where there is significance and meaning. I often look at the crucifixion of Jesus. I often look at the killing of Gandhi, Anwar Sadat, Jack and Bobby and Martin. I look at all these things. These were men who were going against the grain of mediocrity, of conventional thinking, where it's might over right, you know, the ability to have power. And that power is what is the might that most people think is right. But it's not right or wrong, good or bad. You have to see everything through the eyes of a compassion that allows you to see where you're living. You and I are living in a hostile environment constantly. Now, we can do one of two things in that hostile environment. We can either go along with that hostile environment and fight an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, or we can just watch and love thy neighbor as thyself. And I know what people think. They think, well, you don't take a stand. You're not a man. You're a part of the problem. It's like watching a tennis match. Back and forth and back and forth goes the ball. Sometimes this guy wins. Sometimes that guy wins. Sometimes this guy loses. Sometimes that guy. You just watch. But understand what's at play. Understand the spin of the ball, the ability that a person has to hit the ball, how agile they are. What I'm really saying is to understand the way people think and what they work from and the spin that they put on their life. And if you can sit and watch that, every so often you will see something arise in that will help you understand the nature of why they do what they do. Sometimes, rarely, but sometimes you can appeal to that. Here is Pontius Pilate standing there in front of an amazing man. And he just does not get who this man is. He wants to let him go, but he can't because of the pressure of government and the pressure of the people who wanted to have him crucified and see, like a lab experiment, if God was going to do anything. A lot of people thinking, is there a God? Well, let's see if there is. Let's kill him and let's see if there is a God. There's all sorts of crazy people out there. Bad or good. Was the crucifixion a good thing? Well, makes churches a lot of money. It really does. Jewelry, you know, crosses around the neck, that kind of thing. Yeah, there's a lot of money in it. You could say, well, you know, it helped people. It helps them survive and help the church survive and all of that and blah, 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 blah. Is it a bad thing? Well, you know, a lot of people will say he resurrected, so it was a good thing if we hadn't done that. Blah, 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 blah. All these things do we think. All these things do we analyze. All these things do we rationalize our evil by. We wash our hands of it all, as it were, through logic and reasoning. My evil comes from my genetics and my DNA in order to survive. That's my evil. My evil is how I survive, wanting to survive the way I want to survive, and having some kind of mechanism to rationalize my evil in order to survive. What is good? Well, that depends. And that is subjective as well. You could say, was the iPhone a good thing? Absolutely. Yes or no? How it was used? Did anybody know how it was going to be used and how it was going to affect not the country, but the world? It's all subjective. And it all depends on how you are living in third person, watching without judging, without analyzing. That's the key to it all. Just watch. There you are. I hope that helps, Carla. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm running out of time. Last question comes from Raymond. Do you really think people are spiritual? I don't. Raymond from Texas. No, Raymond, I think we all have the spiritual within us. Whatever you may think that is the scary part. If I were to define being spiritual as having a sense of consciousness and attaining to consciousness and using that, as it were, living in that, immersing myself in that to bring about the insight for awakening, then no, I don't think there are many people who are much interested in that. Do I feel like there is that element in this world? Very few, very little, not much, but it is there. There's not much interest in it, much less having people who are going to do anything about it. Do I really think people are spiritual? Deep inside everyone is the awakening. It is this worldly life to attain to that awakening. And how many people want to do it? I don't know. Not many. How many people will do it? I don't know, but not many. But that's not the point. If one of us awakens, just one of us, it has been amazing, and it's been a miracle, and it's been wonderful. So it isn't about us all getting together, agreeing, and then being spiritual and building a world where everything is comme ci, comme ça, or everything is about singing kumbaya together and all that other stuff. It isn't about that. It is about the awakening individually. Can I awaken to love? Can I awaken to an intelligence that lives within, that people refer to as God? Can I awaken to love? Can I let love live me? That is the real question. Can I put aside my intellect? Can I put aside all that I have, all that I don't have, all that I want? Can I put aside my worldly life for the sake of being kind, forgiving, compassionate, forgiving? Big one. Forgiving. Can I do that? Am I willing to do that? That's the real question. Because that is the essence of an authentic spirituality and whether or not we're going to attain to it. Most people want everything on their own terms. I want to keep enough hate in me and I can't help it because that's the way I am. There are people that I don't like and people that have hurt me and blah, 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 blah. And you just can't trust people, all that stuff. You got to see things for the way they are, not what you and I might think they are. I look at people and treat them from the point of view of the way they are, what they have come to within themselves, not what they want me to believe they are. And if I do that, I can do that with respect. I can do that with compassion. I can do that with love. They may not be high on the totem pole of spirituality, but that doesn't mean they don't deserve my love, my respect, and my ultimate forgiveness. For really, none of us know what we're doing to ourselves. I'm out of here. I hope that helped. Thank you. Thank you for listening. I'm out of here. I've got more questions for tomorrow. I think you're going to find them very interesting. Thank you for listening and being patient and compassionate. And please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.